James chapter number 4, if you found it and you're able to, let's stand together for the word reading of the Word of God. We're going to read the last five verses of James chapter number 4. In verse number 13, the Bible says, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow." And here's that eternal question: for what is your life? "It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. For what is your life?" I'm going to preach for a little while. I want to challenge us, encourage us this morning on this subject matter on don't take life for granted. Don't take life for granted. We're going to have a word of prayer, then you can be seated. Father, we love you. Lord, I'm so thankful, Lord, for who you are in our lives. I'm thankful for the amount of time that you give to each and every one of us to be able to serve you. And Lord, that through your grace, we can be part of your work that has taken place not just here in our region, but around this world. And Lord, I don't ever want to take every breath that you've given to me, and I don't want to take that for granted. I want it to be of eternal value. And Lord, the life of this church, I don't want it to be taken for granted. But Lord, I want us to make a difference for the cause of Christ and to be able to impact eternity. And so, Lord, would you challenge us today on this subject matter, and maybe there'd be some self-examination of some things in our lives that we're just taking some things for granted. Lord, I pray that you'd help us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Isn't it wonderful how you read through the Bible? And I don't know about you. I'm one that for me personally, it helps me to be able to mark and write notes inside my Bible. Does anybody else do that, or am I just odd? Okay, I know I'm odd, but not just because of that reason. But as I read throughout the scriptures I'm not going to ask if you have a certain legend that you use as you go throughout the scriptures, that if it's really important, you have a star beside it, or it's just an underline, or if it's really important, I'll circle it and sometimes draw an arrow to it. And so just certain habits that we have. And so certain things in my Bible brings back memories and truths. And may I say, it's no deep spiritual truth that brought, as I was looking back again at James chapter 4, but I remember our first Sunday evening devotion after COVID had taken hold. And remember, we went live at 5 o'clock on Sunday nights for our Sunday evening devotion. And I thought, we'll just do this for a few weeks and everything. And then we did it for months. But one of them first ones, and it may have been the very first one, I thought, well, let me have this nice setting that I can sit outside on the deck and I can have the laptop. You know where I'm going with this, don't you? What happened that night? It started raining. And so I'm sitting out on the deck and wonderful. Well, that devotion was out of James chapter number 4 that said we're supposed to draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. That's what the devotion was out of on that Sunday evening. And it started to rain. And so now, until this Bible gets decommissioned and put on the shelf, there are rain droplets and wrinkling on these two pages of James 4 and 5 that remind me of the very first devotion that I did outside because it started raining. And I was not able to get the umbrella over my Bible in time. I'm sure you have things like that that bring back in your memory of what's taken place. But I'm reminded here in James chapter number 4 of this subject matter on don't take life for granted. It seems like when we are young people. And probably one of the biggest things that I had growing up is my parents never allowed any of us kids to ride our bicycles on the road until we were at least 9, maybe 10 years old. We never got to ride them on the road, even though we were out in the country. That was just something they had said. And I remember the day I turned 9 years old, that we were able to ride our bike on the road, and it was 1 mile down to the crossroads and 1 mile back. And on my birthday, I got to go ride that by myself and ride down there. And it took me all of 10 to 15 minutes. And I'm thinking, what was the big deal about that? But I'm thinking, hey, when we're that young, it seems like we have our whole lives ahead of us. It seems like when we turn double digits and we're finally 10 years old, or that first day of school going to kindergarten, and we've got our lunchbox, and mine had a thermos inside of it. How many had a lunchbox with a thermos? We had all of that, and we're ready to go to school, and then we're thinking, this is never going to end. And we always look forward to something. We always look forward and we think, man, when I'm 5 years old, I can't wait. Next year, I'm going to be in first grade. Then I turn double digits and I'm 10, and I'm thinking, man, another 3 years, I'm a teenager. And that's not enough when I turn 13 and be a teenager, because then I turn 16 in another 3 years and I get to go get my driver's license. And here in New Hampshire, it's always 15 and a half. And mom and dad, where's the copy of my birth certificate so we can go drive on my birthday? And then if I turn 18 and I get to vote, and then you regret all of that too. And then it's like I'm 21 and I get to do all these things. And then it's like, okay, then I turn 25 and my insurance goes down a little bit because I turn 25. But then we start thinking we hit that 29 mark. And it's like, you know, we're almost to middle age. And then we start thinking 40 is coming up here in just a few years, and then 50 and 60. And all of a sudden we're thinking, you know, 40 years ago, I was thinking it'd be good to turn 13. 40 years ago, I'm thinking, man, we're just starting a job and we'll be retiring at some point. But now all those days are gone. And now we look back and we start realizing what we thought would be taking years and so long to be able to get there. Now we look back and say, where did that all go? And now we're saying, man, if we could go back and be able to tell our 20-year-old self, here's what you have to look forward to, and don't waste this time, and don't take this day for granted, and don't take the conversation that you'll have with that person for granted, because it may be the last one you ever have with them. And we start looking back over our lives. And we start realizing, I wish I'd paid a little closer attention. I wish I'd invested a little bit more time. I wish I'd spent a little more with this person or that person. I wish the things of this world maybe were not as important to me. And I actually more invested in people than I did things. And we start realizing after several years in our lives that maybe we took some things for granted. I've talked to some husbands and wives that after years of being what everybody else thought was happily married. And may I remind us that nobody ever knows besides God what goes on when that door is shut at night. What we thought would be happily married, we find out after years that they're just saying, I feel like I've just been taken for granted all these years. And I know that there's been some marriages that I've had husbands and wives that have sat there, and some of them even separately have said, you know, my biggest mistake was just taking them for granted. Not thanking them, not loving them, not appreciating them. I've had some young people, it usually takes several more years to get to the point of saying, I've just taken my parents for granted for years. My uncle wrote back to my grandfather after he had gone off and he'd been 6 months in the Air Force. And he wrote back and he said, Dad, he said, it's amazing how much you've learned over the past 6 months. And many times as we're growing up, and we know this is true, listen, we take people around us for granted, but more than just taking them for granted, may I encourage us today, don't take life for granted. There are some here that have received that one phone call that all of a sudden turned their entire world upside down. All of a sudden, all these plans that they had for all these years that were coming up, they're hoping to make it through the next month. We've had friends of ours, one of the greatest prayer warriors that I've ever met, passed away in his early 50s. We have, and several know around here, especially those with our teenagers, they know Brother Josh Gregg, and they know Miss Hannah. It was Miss Hannah's dad, Brother Mickey Lee. And Brother Josh, if he was here, he'd stand here before you today, and he'd say about everything I learned about prayer, he said, I learned from her dad. God took him out early, took him to heaven. But I thought, you know, sometimes we get those phone calls and we just start realizing I'm not going to take life for granted. I'm not going to take this one day that all of a sudden I'm thinking on, all of a sudden that I'm saying I don't know what's going to happen. And we think that everything is going well in life. We think that everything is going forward. And then something happens and we say, I wish I wouldn't have taken that week for granted. I wish I hadn't have taken that person for granted. All of a sudden we get a phone call. I get a phone call like that this past year. That brother Chris DiGiacomo texted me as another pastor down in Massachusetts. And he said, brother, did you just hear about so-and-so? He just passed away yesterday. And I'm thinking, here's a man in his late 40s. I've had several phone conversations with, been able to spend several moments with. And then I start thinking back and saying, I wonder if I could have maximized my time with him and not taking it for granted. Well, we come over here to James chapter number 4. And the Bible's teaching us here that our life, it is even a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away. And I want us to share a few things about helping us on not taking it for granted and what we are doing actually when we do take it for granted. As I look down through here, he says in verse number 13, he says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. And I wrote down, these are just some simple thoughts that God helped me with, that when I begin to take life for granted, there is actually an expectation that I have that I deserve a future. There's an expectation that I actually deserve tomorrow to be able to come. Someone actually said about this matter of procrastination. Procrastination is just another form of taking time for granted. And they said in this matter of procrastination, they said procrastination is actually an act of pride that we think we deserve another opportunity to be able to accomplish it. And I thought on this matter of taking life for granted that we start to get prideful in our lives thinking, hey, I have another opportunity. I expect that I deserve another day to be able to get this accomplished. I've heard people say, and it was said in the book of Acts as the Apostle Paul was witnessing to those that are around him, they sent Paul away and they said, go and come again and we'll hear ye of this matter again someday. And I'm thinking there's people that are maybe seated here today. They expect they have another opportunity to be able to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Well, you're taking life for granted. How many have ever gotten a phone call and someone you thought would be around for years, all of a sudden you get a phone call or you hear through the grapevine, they've gone out into eternity just like that. How fragile life is. I don't think they mind me using the example of it. We've talked about it. But here just a couple months ago, life became real fragile, didn't it, Brother McManus? He made this statement. He said, when it's your wife laying there and you think this is it, it sure changes perspective. Now there's a valuing of every day. Now every minute that's together, there's not the expectation of, listen, we may not have tomorrow. I don't deserve tomorrow to come around for me. But it's only by God's grace. And sometimes we get to live in an entitlement mentality. Yes, even we as believers, we as Christians, get into the entitlement mentality on God deserves to give me another day. No, we don't. There may be unconfessed sin that is in people's lives and they're saying, hey, I'll get it taken care of next time. Are we that prideful to expect that we deserve another chance? Are we that prideful to say, y'all, I know I'm going to be able to. We may go out into eternity today. The Lord may come back at any moment. And I'm looking forward to that. But I want to make sure that, listen, everything that I possibly can is right in my life. I don't want to go to heaven with unconfessed sin. I want everything right between me and God. If you're here today and you're not saved, you're not a child of God. Oh, preacher, I'll take care of that someday. Well, the problem is someday never comes. And then you step out into eternity. And it's amazing how we expect other days when we know we ought to get things taken care of, and then we blame it on God. When God gives us the opportunity, do you understand how graceful God is to each and every one of us? How merciful He is to us? That's why He says over in Corinthians, listen, now is the accepted time. Behold, today is the day of salvation. If God's speaking to hearts, don't take it for granted that you're going to have another opportunity. Don't take it for granted that tomorrow is always going to be here. How many have ever heard the statement that you ought to give flowers while the person can smell them? It's amazing. We show up at a cemetery, we show up at a graveside, we show up at a funeral service. It's amazing the number of flowers that are laid out there. And I sit back and wonder, I wonder how many gave flowers while the person was alive. Because that day is going to come. Hey, listen, from personal experience, can I tell you this? When I was 20 years old, I got up to go to work the first week of August, August the 6th of 1997. And I was getting ready to walk out the door. It was about 6 o'clock in the morning. My mother was standing at I think she was at the stove. She was cooking breakfast. And as I'm walking out the door, I looked over at my mom. I had my lunch for the day, had everything. And I was walking out the door and I said, love you, Mom. She said, I love you too. And I walked out the door. And I headed down the road. I went to work. We were down on the islands, down in Harpswell, Maine or so, somewhere around there, taking forms off a concrete foundation. We got that done by about 10 o'clock in the morning. We're driving back, pulled into a convenience store there. Walking out of the convenience store, my brother pulls in on the side of the road, and he said, Peter, I've been trying to find you. He said, Mom's been taken to the hospital with a heart attack. Can I say this? I walked out that door that morning expecting to come back, be able to have a full family. But we walked back in that afternoon, just sat there in silence for about 3 or 4 hours. Then we went to church that night. And for the first time in years, that piano was empty. You know what it is? Sometimes we take things for granted. We're not assured of tomorrow. Sometimes we get this expectation that we deserve a future. We get an expectation that I deserve tomorrow. We ought not to take it for granted, number two, because of the brevity of life. Not just that we expect a future, but do you realize how short life is? Now think about this. How many here, and I know you may not want to admit it, how many here are over 80 years of age? You're over 80. Boy, look at the hands. We probably got a dozen hands that are up, 10 or 12 hands that are up. But I guarantee you every one of them could go back and remember about 60 years ago and say, it went just like that. When we look back and we start saying, hey, life, the Bible says it here, life is but a vapor. And all I can think of is, listen, we didn't have fancy humidifiers growing up. We had a wood stove in our house. And as soon as we started that wood stove, there was always a pot of water that was put on top of that wood stove. Does anybody know why? Because it was dry in the winter time, and that pot of water was put on top of that stove, and that vapor, it would just evaporate, and it'd be gone. Be gone. Now, we felt the effects of it. We knew we weren't so dry through the winter time, but let me say this, we'd see that steam and that vapor coming off there, but guess what? By the time it reached here, you couldn't even see it anymore. You understand that's the comparison that is being given right here for how our life is in compared to eternity. When the Bible says that in the eyes of the Lord, listen, a day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. And 1,000 years as a day. Do you understand? I mean, if we live to be 100 years, we're only talking at that ratio, that's about 2.4 hours of a day. You say that's not very much time when you start giving that comparison. No, you think of in light of eternity, what is 90 years? In light of the 6,000 plus years that the world has been in existence since God created it, what is 100 years? What is 100 years? It's not much. Do you understand the brevity of life that it's here today and gone tomorrow? There's those that we come in contact with. Listen, we may never see him again. Do you understand? You say, well, I've got plenty of years ahead of me. I've got my whole life. Usually we get on the teenagers for being able to say that. Well, I'm only 14, 15 years old. I've got my whole life ahead of me. I learned real quick as a young person, because my dad told the story, if it was once, it was 100 times. He told the story, the account of the first funeral that he ever performed as a pastor was of a 15-year-old girl who got stomach cancer, and it took her life. 15 years old. You say, but that's just a short life. Yes. And that's what the Bible is trying to teach us here in these scriptures, that life is short. Don't take it for granted. Don't say you're going to have another opportunity. Don't say I'll do that tomorrow. What God has spoken to you, one of the resolutions, and I think it was right around 72 or 73 resolutions that the preacher Jonathan Edwards had written down for him personally by the time he was 18 years of age. By 18 years of age, he had 72 or 73 resolutions written down for his life. One of his resolutions that he wrote down is, he said, resolved not to waste my time on something I would not do in the last hour of my life. I thought about that. Now listen, he's not talking about working a job, be able to pay the bills. He's talking about wasting time. He's talking about things that are of no value whatsoever. You say, hey, if you have 1 hour left right now, if it is 10:48 and God said you're going out of here at 11:48, what would you do in that last hour? We would do those things that are of value. We'd do those things that are going to mean the most to those that we're leaving behind. We'd make sure that our relationship is right with God. We'd make sure that we're prepared to meet God. Listen, I'm sure most of that would probably be spent or need to be spent repenting, making sure our life is right, making sure we're ready to see God. Then why don't we live that way on a daily basis? Because we truly believe that the Lord is coming back at any time. And we're going to say, listen, that was quick. Can I show you how quick it's going to seem? Do you understand that we're going to get to heaven the same day as the Apostle Paul? There's only one day up there. We're going to get to heaven the same day as the Apostle Paul. And that was only a couple thousand years ago, not even that. You understand how quick it's going to seem that we just got here and now time's flying? And I'm saying, Lord, as we look into the scriptures, would you teach us it is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away? Do you understand? Our life could be gone in a moment. Now, listen, I'm not trying to scare anybody into it. I am trying for a reality. that the things that we waste our life on. Do you know how long it's been? Listen, I can't do it anymore. There were times that I could sit down, I could watch a baseball game. Do you know what the realization is? That's three and a half hours of my life that I'll never get back. That it's gone. We were talking about it on Monday night when we went down to the preaching service down in Groton, Mass. And on our way back, Sam was in the van and he was trying to calculate up how many seconds we have in a day. Does anybody know how many we have? 86,400 seconds. Every day of our lives. And they don't get redeposited the next day. Life is short. It's gone just like that. You say, well, what are we supposed to do? Well, let's not have the expectation that we deserve a future because of the brevity of life that is here today, gone tomorrow. My mother, when I walked out that day, listen to me. 2 months earlier, she had just celebrated her 51st birthday. 51st birthday. I had a lady in our church that met me at the door when I went back to work the next week, and she said, Peter, that's just not right. You're too young. You still need your mother. I said, well, I guess God needed her more. And God gave me another one. It's okay. It's wonderful. Same birthday, too, so I didn't have to remember a new birthday. You know what God's taught me all through this? Life's short. Let's not take it for granted. You say, well, what are we supposed to do then? Look at the next verse. Here's what he says. For ye ought to say, verse 15, if the Lord will. You ever wonder why someone looks at you and said, well, Lord willing, we'll be there? That's just Bible. That's just Bible. I know some joke about that because we talk about praying that way and saying, well, if the Lord will, I'll be there tomorrow. Hey, that's Bible. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Do you understand we ought to be focusing more on what the will of God is for our lives than wasting time in our lives? If it's the Lord's will. You say, well, does the Lord will me? What if we approached those four words? Now, let's get very practical right now. What if we approached those four words, if the Lord will, to everything we do in life? So you're getting ready to sit down and waste some time. Well, if the Lord wills, boy, that may change our thinking, wouldn't it? Look what the Bible says. We ought to be focused on the will of God. Turn back with me to Luke chapter number 12. Luke chapter number 12. We know these verses of Scripture, this parable that's being taught here. Luke chapter 12 and verse number 16. Now, we're going to pause a couple times and I'm going to ask you a question. Just so that you don't get the wrong idea about this passage of Scripture. Luke chapter 12, verse number 16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. Is there anything wrong so far? Not a thing wrong, is there? There's nothing wrong with your ground bringing forth plentifully. Let's look at the next verse. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. Is there anything wrong up till here? In other words, he's got a pretty good year going on. His profit is doing very well. There's absolutely nothing wrong. He is working. He is laboring. He is providing. He has more than enough. No issues whatsoever. And hey, you may be sitting back with plentiful. Praise the Lord. Nothing wrong whatsoever. The sin enters in the next verse. And he said, verse 18, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul. Now listen, I'm not even saying building bigger barns is wrong. Sometimes you've got to prepare for that and do it. Nothing wrong with that. I shouldn't have said the sin came in that verse. It's the next verse. Verse 19, and I will say to my soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. You know where his issue was? He was just taking it for granted. Taking it for granted that he had all these years ahead of him. It's not a sin to have plenty. It's not a sin to have to build a bigger barn. Hey, listen, every person that's farming, any person that has a business, they're praying that it grows, that they'll have to grow bigger. Praise the Lord for it. But where he went wrong was saying, I've got plenty of time. I got plenty of time. I can just sit back, take it for granted. I've got everything, eat, drink, and be merry. And the Lord said in the next verse, thou fool, verse 20, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. He's not focused on the will of God. Hey, listen, it's not just about if you have money, you're in sin. No, it's not about that. It's the focus on the will of God. It's the focus on what's God's desire for our life and not just taking it for granted. Well, I've got everything. I can just sit back. I don't need to do anything else. No, it's not, just not taking life for granted. Turn back with me to Matthew chapter number 6. I love these verses too. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. You know where we're going? Matthew chapter number 6. We'll back it up a little bit. Verse number 28. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, but for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You say, well, is he saying all these things are wrong? He's saying, first of all, make sure you're concentrating on the will of God for your life. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. He's not saying these things are wrong, but they're not our number one priority. Listen, if all you do is live your life for the things of this world, guess what? It's going to be gone in a heartbeat. But boy, if we're laying up our treasure in our hearts in heaven, well, I'm telling you, everything we do down here, we'll just be laying up for up there. And it'll last for eternity. You know, I'm thankful. I'm thankful. I want to get to the point that I have more on the other side than I have here. I'm looking forward to those days. But it's not going to be that way if we're taking life for granted. I want to live each and every day of my life in light of eternity. Does it have eternal value? Or is everything that I accomplished in the past 24 hours, is it just nothing? Is it just going to pass away? Is it just that it amounts to naught? Or am I just taking life for granted? Am I taking people for granted? Am I taking relationships for granted? Oh, mom and dad will always be there until they're not. My wife will always be there till she's not. Your husband will always be there till he's not. We take things for granted. Now, can I turn over to one more passage of Scripture? Taking life for granted. Look at Colossians chapter number 3 with me. If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, you're taking life for granted and expecting you're going to have another opportunity. And God doesn't promise us that. But if we're a child of God, I want you to see something. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Can I ask this question also this morning? I wonder if we're taking Christ for granted in our lives. We're taking him for granted. You know, Paul started dealing with some of that. He got down at the end of chapter 5, beginning of chapter number 6 over in the book of Romans. When he talked about that we do have victory over sin, and okay, all the way through there, wages of sin is death. We get to chapter 6, verse number 1. Shall we continue in sin, that grace may abound? You know, I believe Paul was talking to him saying, you're taking grace for granted. You're taking grace for granted that you always come back. And I remember, and I was corrected as a young preacher. And I took the correction, okay? I'd always heard that statement, and you've heard it, and we always chuckle at it because we usually say it with tongue in cheek. Well, it's always easier and better to ask forgiveness than it is permission. As a 21-year-old, I was sitting over at a table over in the country of Romania. There was an older preacher sitting across the table from me, and a few of us were talking about a few things. He wasn't involved in the conversation. He was one that when he opened his mouth, everybody better be quiet. You better listen to what he's saying because it's important. We were joking about some things, and I made that statement in jest. He looked over the table from me. He said, Brother Peter, that all depends on who you're asking forgiveness from. And he said, I wonder sometimes if we just take God for granted. Samson took God for granted. He said that he was going to go out just like any other time and wist not that the Holy Spirit of God had departed from him. I believe sometimes we take grace for granted. We take our relationship with Christ for granted the same way we do with human relationships. Well, God's just going to be my spare tire. God's just going to be my fire extinguisher when I need him. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear. Let's not take our life for granted. If we have Christ in us, the Bible says he's the hope of glory. Let's not just take him for granted. Now, guess what? We draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to us. We have the promises of God. God's not going to say to us, listen, I'm just done with you for eternity. That goes against his very character and the promise that he made. We have eternal life. But I wonder when we get to heaven, according to 1 Corinthians 3, when we stand before God and everything that we've done is piled up there. And I believe by the voice of the Lord Jesus, it's going to be burned up. We're going to say, boy, I took a lot of things for granted, didn't I? I took my relationship with Christ for granted. Just figured it was all okay. When there was sin in our lives, there was unholiness there. And we just took it for granted that everything was okay. That God's going to use me. Hey, I can just stand up and preach. You know how many times I've opened this Bible and been able to preach? So we're at the 7.5 year mark. Easily on average, I'm well over 1,000 messages that I've preached at Granite State Baptist Church. By God's grace, to the best of my knowledge, I've not preached the same one twice. But I thought, you know, I could sure take God for granted. And just say, ah, I've done it before. He's just going to be with me. I'll just get up behind the pulpit and be able to preach just like at any other time. No. I don't want to take him for granted. I can't take Christ for granted on living this life and being able to overcome and be a conqueror over sin on a daily basis. I don't want to take that stuff for granted. But sometimes we just go through life and we're just assuming everything's okay. When really we ought to have a reality check on our relationship with Christ and say, I've just been taking it for granted. There's some husbands and wives. You know why couples retreats are good? Because we get together and we find out we've been taking some things for granted and we haven't been paying as much attention as we should have been. You know what we ought to do with the Lord? Say, Lord, you're my life. And have I just been taking you for granted? Let's not live that way. If you're here today and you're not saved, just don't be prideful to think that you deserve another day and another opportunity. you're here today and you are saved, I wonder what in our lives we are taking for granted. I wonder if it's our relationship with Christ. Oh, he'll understand. No, I don't think that Jesus does understand when there's sin in our lives. I don't think he does understand. He's not going to understand and say, well, I get it. You're just human. No. He's given us the Holy Spirit of God indwelling us that we can be conquerors over that. And I'm saying, Lord, would you help us to be able to do that and not take life for granted?